All right. Well, good morning. Welcome to Key Point. We're in the middle of our message series, The Struggle is Real. And y'all, look, it is real. I mean, if you have a relationship with anyone, the struggle is real. So today we're talking about a specific topic to do with relationships, and that's communication. Big topic. We won't be able to cover it all. I'm just going to give you two simple points to try to go home and actually implement. We don't need any more information. We just need to implement the information that we have. But communication is so big in every relationship that we have. So we're going to try to tackle it a little bit today. So lean in. That's what I'm going to ask you to do. Lean in a little bit if you have to get on your edge of your seat a little bit. But just engage with me this morning. And just as a warning, we're going to be laughing at ourselves, okay? We're going to be laughing at the opposite gender so no one can get offended. I'm telling you right now before we get into it, so all nod and agree with me, I will not get offended. All right, you did. So don't be writing me an email after this because I'm going to say, no, you agreed. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are in this place and you are such a good God. You are a miracle-working God. And Lord, we just give you room in our hearts right now. We avail our hearts to you. We open it up and we just say, Jesus, do a miracle. I surrender to you. God, I know that you're here and you're wanting to do something very special. I sense that, God. And so we give you that room. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Well, I heard this story about this man and wife. They were married. And they were having communication issues. And so the husband got this really great idea, like many husbands do. He's a fixer. So he said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy her a mood ring because I feel like if I knew what mood she was in, then I wouldn't have a problem trying to know if I should communicate to her or not. I could just look at the mood and it'd tell me, stay away or I can engage. And so he got her a mood ring and she put it on. And whenever she said, whenever she was in a good mood, it was green. But whenever she was in a bad mood, it left this big red mark on his forehead. And so he decided right then and there that he was not going to ever do that again. And she said, all right, Joker, you're talking about get me a mood ring. I want some diamonds. Give me some diamonds. So, you know, next time, men, you go to the store, buy diamonds. Don't buy a mood ring. Communication in marriage, it can be such a challenge. Really, in any relationship, communication will make or break it. But actually, it's necessary because it's like the engine that gives us fuel in our relationships. So you know, if you've got bad fuel, then you're going to have a stalled car. And if you got no fuel, you're not going anywhere. And that's what some of our marriages and our relationships feel like. We have bad communication or no communication, and we are stuck. Proverbs 13:17 says, reliable communication permits progress. And I believe that's what we all want in our relationships is progress, to actually go somewhere instead of backwards. You know what I mean? So I heard, though, the key to good communication is this. And everybody listen up, because this is what this whole message today is going to be based on. The key of good communication is to seek to understand first before you're understood. To seek to understand the other person before you're understood. And boy, that is a challenge, but I believe that it is 100% true. See, I have preached in different countries before, and it is always such a challenge for me. It's not one of my favorite things because you have a translator. So you're up here doing your thing, and you're trying to get into it, and then you got to pause because it's got to go through a translator, and then they tell the people, and you're like, well, that killed the moment for me. Let me rev it back up again. And then you get going again, and then sometimes you say a joke, and it falls flat because maybe they don't think it's funny because they don't understand what you're saying. And then a lot of times the translator will look at you because they don't have that word that we have in the English language. They don't have one in their language. So they'll look at you like, give me another one. And I'm like, I don't know, because I don't know what, you know, you're trying to communicate without talking. And it's just the most awkward thing to preach in another country because we're speaking two different languages. We have a language barrier. Now, in my relationship with Casey, there have been many times, in fact, even last week, where it felt like we were speaking two different languages. And we needed a translator, someone to say, she said this, he said that. Now, y'all get it? Okay, good. But we don't have that. None of us do. So a lot of times what we find in marriage or just any relationship, it doesn't have to be marriage, is you've got a lot of talking and no one understanding. Because understanding is not always natural. What's natural is that we want to be heard. What's natural is we want to defend ourselves. It's really a lot about us. That's just the ugly side of human nature. That's what's natural. But if we want to get progress in our relationships, then we're going to have to do something that's a little bit uncomfortable, something that doesn't come natural to us, and that is seek first to understand before we are understood. So I think the question, though, that we should be asking is this: how do I understand? That's all good and well, but how do I do that? Because that's why we're in the place that we're in. I don't understand this person. Well, like I said, today I'm just going to give you two tools. That's it. Two things that I pray you go home and apply. You might have to apply it in your job tomorrow. You might have to apply it when you walk out those doors and you and your spouse start yelling at each other. I hope not, but you might. It's real. I know. It's reality. So I pray that you do this, because if you do, it will move you just one more step closer to having life-giving communication. And that's what we want. So the first thing I think we need to apply to help us understand the other person is be understanding of the gender differences. Now, y'all, there is a gender gap. I mean, it's just the truth. Men are made like this. Women are made like this. We have completely different brain structures, completely different ways we think. We have different processors that are going on in our brain. And let me say, before anybody gets all uptight in here, one is not better than the other. They're just different. And it's the way God made us. And here's the thing. We will never actually close the gender gap. No matter how hard our society tries, God made man and he made woman to be different, to bring their own unique ability and design to the table and actually have something to offer. So we're never going to close that. God wanted us that way. He wants two perspectives in a home. He wants two perspectives in a business, in life, in this world, because it keeps us in check and balances. God forbid a world where it's ran just by women. God forbid a world where it's ran just by men. We need both, okay? We need both. So let's talk about the brains of the two different genders. All right, women, I'm gonna start with us first because we can take it. A woman's brain, you know, we have a lot of extra RAM going on up in there in our processor. We have a little bit more, probably more than necessary. Probably, we don't need as much as we have a lot of fluff, but we can use it for fun, or we can use it to completely frustrate our spouse. I mean, that's totally up to you how you choose to use it, but we do. We have a little extra going on up there. Our brain, it's like the information superhighway. I mean, it is just going nonstop. Men, you think that our brain stops when we sleep? Uh-uh, no. It's going somehow, subliminally, it is going. We're thinking a grocery list in our sleep. I'm telling you, it never stops. And women will remember the detail of everything. Isn't that true, men? You're like, oh yeah, trust me. She reminds me all the time. Women will remember the details. And I have a theory about that. In science, I think backs me up. I didn't study it, but it's just my theory. I think it's because women are emotionally driven and emotions imprint things on our brain. So if she's at a wedding and it's this beautiful moment and she's feeling emotional about it, it's going to imprint that moment on her brain. So she's going to be able to tell you 15 years from now, remember that wedding? It smelled like this and it looked like this and I was wearing this and you were sitting right here and there was a butterfly that flew by and it was so amazing. And that is because that moment was imprinted on her brain because of the emotions inside of her. Now, a woman's mind, I'm just telling the truth here, it looks like this. I mean, it's got a lot of wires going on. Now, I will say it's chaos, but it's an organized chaos. They all play a part. It's not just craziness. And some men might look at it and say, oh, good Lord. But for women, we're like, nah, it's all right. That's just how we live, just like that. For instance, because of that, a woman can be sitting down watching a movie with a friend, and they're holding a deep conversation where the woman's crying, and she's like, oh, let me pray with you, but she can still tell you what's going on in the movie. I don't know how we do it. It's like our ears work at the same time as our talking. It's just a total supernatural mystery of God, the way he created women. Now you have men, on the other hand. Here's how their brain works. Now, men, let me tell you before I start, men are just as smart as women. Men are brilliant, but their brain is equipped with just enough RAM, the minimum requirements, to breathe and eat. That's it. That's all men need. And it's not because they're not as smart. It's because they don't need the fluff. If they had the fluff, they wouldn't know what to do with it. So when God was making them, he said, that's not necessary. I don't need to put, I'll just take that extra and put it in her brain. And men don't hang around with details. They just don't hang on to them because it's not because they don't have the ability. They don't care to. They don't care what color this was. I'll ask Casey, does this look good? And he's like, it's great. I'm like, no, you didn't even look. It's fine. Well, no, I meant like, do my ankles look right? And he's like, yeah, I mean, it's good. The bigger picture, the overall package, good. No, look at the details. Men don't care about details. What's the bottom line? Give me the bottom line is what they're thinking. Now, I told you earlier, women's brains are like this. Men's aren't really like that. And to give you a word picture, I'd say men, their brains have boxes in them. So it's like they compartmentalize their world. Like they've got a figure it out part, they've got an emotion part, they've got a competitive part, the work part, whatever it is, I talk this part, whatever. And so they're only one track minded because if they're in this box, they can't jump all over. They don't have wires connecting the boxes. So I'm doing this right now. Leave me alone until I finish this, and then I'll jump in another box. They process one thought at a time, one thought at a time. You've ever heard men are one track minded? That's where we get it from, one thing at a time. So when a man watches a movie, he watches a movie. He doesn't talk to his friend. He'd be like, dude, shut up. I'm here to watch the movie. I mean, why would you talk to me right now? That's so dumb. Like, I'm watching a movie. And women are like, you didn't talk to me during the movie? I mean, it's just completely different, completely different. Think about emotions for just a second. The wire to a woman's emotions, it is all the time plugged in. It is never unplugged. Even when we want it unplugged, it is never unplugged. Usually when we want it unplugged, that's when it's getting the most current, okay? It is never unplugged. And it is the fuel to all the other wires. So all the wires get their juice from the emotion plug. Now, men, on the other hand, they can be emotional. Don't let any man, don't tell me you can't be emotional. I have seen men cry at football games. You can be emotional, okay? But the deal is, they're only going to be emotional when they're in the emotion box. That's it. They are not going to get emotional if they're somewhere else in another box. So for instance, women, when you come home from work and your husband is under the sink trying to figure out a plumbing problem, he's in the figure it out, solve it box. So when you tell him how bad your day was, don't expect him to cry with you because he's got to finish the task. He's going to be like, woman, I am trying to figure this out. I will get emotional with you in a minute. But right now, we're dealing with this. Men stay in their boxes one at a time, whereas we can go here, 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 and here all at the same time. Now, let's talk about talking. The amount that we talk, it's drastically different. I've heard it said before that if a man talks 10,000 words a day, then a woman needs to talk 20,000 words a day. And I think that's true. And I was telling Casey that, and he said, oh, yeah, most definitely, you talk a lot more than me. And I told him, well, you don't want to know why? Because I have to repeat myself all the time to you. Thank you. Thank you. To which he then responded, huh? Exactly. It's true, though. Women talk a lot more than men because we're relational. We want to talk. That's how we get the feelings that are inside out. Men tend to bottle things up a little bit more. They're not as verbal or relational. And let me say this. This is just a generalization, okay? I realize that not all women are on the extreme. And also, I don't think that we should be on the extreme. Saying these things about gender differences, that doesn't give us an excuse or a justification to be overly emotional and respond in over-emotion and say, well, I'm just a woman, you're going to have to deal with it. That's not right. And it's also not an excuse for a man to go on the extreme and say, well, I don't have to be sensitive to you because I'm a man. I'm not in the sensitive box. Well, that's not right either. God has called us to be selfless, but also stay within our normal design, okay? So what am I trying to say here with all this gender differences stuff? It's be understanding with each other. God made you different. Both designs are needed in this life. So, wives, when your husbands aren't giving you what you think you need and aren't being sympathetic to you or just attentive or whatever, and he's trying, but it's just not the way you want him to do it, don't get so upset with him. You didn't marry a woman. You married a man. Let him be a man. Sometimes he just needs to be that way, and you just need to say, he loves me. He's just being a man. And husbands, when your wives are emotional and maybe needy at times, you know, just be a little bit more patient with her. God made her emotional, and thank God he did, because she probably wouldn't have felt sorry for you and married you in the first place. Just teasing. Seek to be understanding of each other, and you'll make progress in your communication, and you'll avoid fights. But fights, they're going to happen because we live with people and we're with them all the time, and they're going to drive you crazy at times. They're going to happen. The deal is, though, how do you resolve them in a healthy way where each person feels like they have something to contribute and that they were heard? So what do you do when you're in the middle of a fight that just seems stuck and it's not going anywhere? This is my second point that I'd love for you to go home and actually apply. I'm going to do the same thing. And it's this: momentarily lay down your case. Momentarily. I say that, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. But you cannot defend your case like a defense attorney and then blame your spouse or the other person in your relationship like a prosecuting attorney and expect for the fight to be resolved. Good communication is the only thing that resolves fights. It is good communication. And there is a lot of talking going on in marriages. A lot. I know in my own marriage, and I know marriages that I see come in here that we talk to, a lot of talking, not a lot of communication. Because we want to be heard first. Me, listen to my issue. But I believe what James 1:19 says when he says everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. So if that's the truth, then I think it's safe to say that we should earn the right to be heard by listening first. And when you're listening, men and women, when you're listening to the other person share their case and state their case of why they're offended, it's not listening if you're building your case in your mind. And as soon as they stop to take a breath, you let the floodgates open. That is not listening. You have to actually just lay down your case momentarily. Lay it down and try to meet them where they are. And if your spouse in that process is saying, you wronged me, this is what you did. You wronged me. Don't immediately throw up the defenses and say, no, I didn't. That's not true. No, I didn't. Stop for a moment. Just lay your case down and listen, because maybe you didn't mean to, but maybe you really did wrong them. And you can just simply say, you know, I never would have seen it from that point of view. I never thought that that would have been something wrong against you. But now, by listening to you and trying to understand you, I get what you're saying. I didn't mean to do that. Will you forgive me? And prayerfully, that person says yes, and you're in a better place. So just own it. Ask for forgiveness. Earlier I said momentarily, lay down your case. And this is why I say momentarily. Because I believe that every person in the relationship has the right to be heard. See, if there's always one listener and one blamer, then the listener's going to eventually get bitter. That person is going to eventually get resentment toward you because they don't feel like they have a piece of the pie. They can't bring something that's on their heart. So that means you say, you know what? I want to listen to you too. I'm going to lay down my right momentarily, but when you get through and I have sincerely heard you and I understand you, then I have the right to pick up my case and very nicely, not in a blaming, prosecuting tone, present it to you. That's when you can state your case. When we get this, if you apply this, it can revolutionize your communication. I'm not telling you you're not going to have any more fights, but what I'm saying is you can fight clean and actually fight to get somewhere, have a discussion to actually get somewhere, and it'll revolutionize it in every area of our life, with people you work with, your family, your parents, your best friends, whatever. You're going to have conflict in every single relationship. This is a learned technique. We're all born with the ability, well, most people, to hear, but none of us are born with the ability to listen. We have to learn it. We have to practice it and strengthen those internal muscles. So that means we need to start talking in marriage and in relationships. Start talking with one another. So that means we've got to put down the phone, men and women, put the phone down and look at the person. It's amazing. Just looking at them, what that'll do. It's amazing. And, you know, women, get off Facebook looking at your best friend's child's rash and trying to figure out what the rash is. Like, who quit putting rashes on Facebook, for the love of God? It's disgusting. Don't do it anymore. Don't like it anymore. Boycott it. Boycott the rashes. Get off Facebook. Get off Instagram checking their perfect life. I mean, come on. The person in front of you is way more valuable. Hang the phone up for just a little while and start communicating and listening to how they feel. How they feel. Seek to start understanding the other person before you want to be understood. Now, I want to give you some good news as we close. Some really good news. God will never shun you, never shun you. If you are in a bad marriage or you had marriage problems or you've made mistakes, God will never shun you. And that is an awesome thing because see, what he does is he actually draws closer to you because he wants to help you fix it. He's a master at fixing things. And so his presence comes around you, his Holy Spirit, and he actually helps you in the journey of being more healed. If you have brokenness in your life, you're in the right place because his presence is here. And this place is actually, if you want to think about it this way, it's a hospital. It is not a museum where we look at perfect things. It's a hospital because every single one of us have been in a place where we needed it at one point in our life. So I want to tell you that it is okay to not be okay. That's just fine with God. And if it's just fine with God, then it is just fine with us. You're in the right place. See, the Holy Spirit is here today. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt that he specifically got you here if you have some marriage problems or something broken in your life so that he could come in and heal it. He's the master doctor. He knows just what to do that no one else can figure out. He knows. That thing you've been working on for years, months, weeks, all it takes is one touch from him, and you're like, light bulb, I got it now. Or something supernatural. Boom. It's okay to not be okay. He's going to come in today, I believe it, and bring his supernatural power and ability and help you. And you're going to have to put a lot of fight in it as well, a lot of attention. But listen, living in a bad marriage is actually harder work than living in a good marriage. So many people say it's so hard to be married and have a good marriage. It is a challenge, but living in a bad one's worse. So just take all that energy you've been using fighting with each other and put it fighting for your marriage. fight for it. Don't throw in the towel just yet if you're almost there. Just give God one more shot. One more shot. Seek marriage counseling. We have great counselors we can put you in touch with that are professional, because usually it takes a little while. You didn't get there overnight. It's not going to correct itself overnight, but it will speed up when you have the power of the Holy Spirit. He will expedite the process. So I want to ask you, please, if you would just bow your heads and close your eyes. This is just so that we won't be a distraction, or nothing will distract you, because this is a really important moment with God. You know, many of you would say, we're talking about marriage relationships, but the biggest fracture in my life is the relationship I have with Jesus. I don't even really know if I'm saved. I don't know if I would go to heaven if I died. And that's very important that you know that. The Bible says you can actually know it to be certain that you'd go to heaven. So if you don't know that, I want to give you an opportunity. This is why we're here at church. Remember, we're a hospital. We're a hospital. So maybe you say, well, I have given my heart to Christ before. Well, I'm talking about rededication too. I'm talking about if you feel very far away from God. I don't mean if you sinned last night and you feel bad about it. I'm talking about you feel disconnected from God. I'm talking about salvation. Maybe you've never given your heart to Christ. Today is your day. So with everybody, could we all say this together out loud? Repeat after me, Father God. Come on, repeat after me, Father God. Thank you for your love. Jesus Christ, thank you for your sacrifice. I receive it right now. Please forgive my sin and wash me clean. Holy Spirit, thank you for your friendship. I know today, come on, declare it out loud. I know today that I am a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come, in Jesus' mighty name. Now keep your heads bowed real quick. If you said that prayer and you meant it for either the first time and to rededicate your life, I'm not going to embarrass you at all. I just want you to make it known, just kind of like a solidifying it to God. Would you raise your hand up? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, yes, many, many people. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, thank you, Jesus. Okay, you know what? How exciting that is. Your eternal destination literally just got switched from hell to heaven. That's outstanding. That's just the gift of salvation. Unbelievable. Thank you, Jesus. Can we all stand up together? And I want to pray over you as we spend like the last 30 seconds in worship. That's it. The reason I want to do this, it's because I believe that there are some people in here that have walked in with a lot of pain, with a lot of weight, a lot of baggage. And I wanted you to take 30 seconds, that's it, and close your eyes and lift your hands to heaven and say, God, I am yours. Fix what is broken in me. Give me faith to believe that I can do it. Give me faith to believe. Jesus' name. Father, I just pray for every person in this room, God, that you would resurrect the dead, Jesus. Resurrect the dead things in our life. Mend the fractures, God. God, we know that scar tissue can actually be stronger than regular tissue. God, take the broken places and heal them and make us stronger together. God, I thank you, Jesus, that you love us, Lord. I just pray, God, that forgiveness would flow in this room, God, that people would be willing to forgive each other. God, resentment and bitterness, they'd be willing to lay down, God. Unforgiveness, they'd be willing to lay it down, Jesus. Father, I just pray that we would seek the other person before we seek to be understood ourselves. God, we want our life to honor you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
how good he is. Come on, lift up the name of Jesus. Let's do that this morning. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your presence. Hallelujah. How many of you enjoyed that this morning? That was good. Wasn't it good? Awesome. I'm going to invite our altar ministry team to come on down front. Listen, if you need anything, if you need prayer this morning, prayer for anything, we want the chance, the honor, the privilege to pray with you, to join our faith with yours this morning, and we want to pray with you. And so maybe it's in response to the message this morning. Maybe you're saying, hey, you know what? She touched on something today that I need some prayer for. We want the chance to pray with you. And so please, I would ask, don't leave today until someone has had a chance to pray with you, join their faith with yours, and really see God move in your life, okay? We are so thankful and honored that you came today, decided to worship with us. Again, if you have a conversation card, if we haven't had a chance to meet you, we would love to meet you. We're going to be out in the foyer afterwards. I'd love to shake your hand, get to know you a little bit, and just see how we can partner with you in this new season of life, all right? Okay, I want everybody to have a great day, and always remember here at Key Point Church that Jesus is the key and people are the point. Have a great day.